Chapter 3. Something Strange at Sea. It was early evening, and many of the passengers were having dinner in the dining room, or at one of the ship's restaurants. Others were enjoying the live music in the salon. Everybody was dressed very elegantly, the men in suits and the women in evening dresses and expensive jewellery. The ship sailed towards the Pacific Ocean. It was now about 160 kilometers from an island called Matomachi. Captain Hawkins didn't sail too near the island, because it was known to be a place of violence and disorder. But it hadn't always been that way. 150 years before, a famous English sea captain and his crew had been sailing in their ship, the Rose. They were on their way to the Solomon Islands when they were caught in a terrible storm. The ship was very badly damaged. When the sea was calm again, the captain and his men saw an island nearby. They anchored the ship off the coast of the island. The captain had never seen this island on any map, so he decided to take some of his crew with him to investigate it. He ordered his men to lower a small boat into the water. The small boat approached the island. As the crew disembarked and pulled the boat onto the white sandy beach, a large number of natives ran towards them. At first, the captain was afraid, but when he saw that the islanders were carrying presents of fruit for him and his crew, he knew that their intentions were good. The islanders welcomed the captain to Matomachi Island and invited him and his men to visit their village. There, Suma Matomachi, the king and leader of the island, showed the captain some of the valuable possessions which had been left by his ancestors. Suma explained that the objects were the envy of the king of Geswachi, a nearby island. Suma then offered to let the captain and his crew stay in the village until the ship was repaired. The captain agreed. A few days after the captain and his crew had returned to England, the king of Geswachi declared war on Matomachi Island. He wanted to steal the Matomachians' valuable objects, so he sent a group of armed mercenaries to take control of the island. King Matomachi was assassinated, and the Matomachians, whose weapons were very primitive, were forced to surrender. The island was isolated from the outside world, and it soon became a place of violence and disorder, and a refuge for pirates. Its reputation became well known, and for this reason, nobody sailed their ships too near to the island. Captain Hawkins was no exception. Suddenly, one of the officers on the Pacific Princess alerted Captain Hawkins that something strange was happening. "Look there, sir," he said, pointing out to sea. The captain took his binoculars and looked out to sea.
"It looks like a pair of fishing boats. What are they doing out here?" he asked, curious.
"I saw some people moving their hands in the air," said the officer. "Maybe they need our help."
The captain took a phone and ordered the men in the engine room to slow down the ship's engines. Then he turned to the officer.
"Tell me when they get closer and I'll use the megaphone to communicate with them," decided the captain. "But meanwhile, keep watching them," he warned. "Report anything unusual to me immediately."
"Yes, sir," answered the officer.
The passengers on board the Pacific Princess had no idea that anything strange was happening. Rachel and Harry had spent the afternoon relaxing at the pool. They had wanted to be alone, so they had stayed on the sun deck to enjoy a romantic dinner. After dinner, Harry and Rachel started walking together in the direction of their suites. On the way, Harry noticed something strange.
"Can you feel it?" asked Harry. "The ship seems to be travelling much slower suddenly."
"Oh, I didn't notice," answered Rachel. "You must be imagining it."
"Yes, maybe you're right," said Harry, knowing that he really hadn't imagined it.
Harry's army training had taught him to be suspicious of anything unusual. When they arrived at their suites,
Harry told Rachel that he was going to shower and that he would soon meet her in her suite. After he had showered, Harry got dressed and then opened his suitcase, taking out the small gun that, as an army officer, he had been authorized to bring with him. He put it in the front pocket of his trousers, pulling his shirt over to hide it. Then he checked his back pocket to make sure that the knife he always carried with him was there. Rachel showered very quickly and changed into a lovely backless evening dress and elegant sandals. Then she combed her hair, put on some makeup, and put her evening handbag on her shoulder. A few minutes later, Harry appeared, looking very handsome in a turquoise shirt, beige trousers, and evening shoes. Meanwhile, the captain was looking at the fishing boats through his binoculars. They were getting closer, and he saw that there were about 20 men on board each of the boats. They were still moving their hands desperately in the air. He spoke into the megaphone.
"This is Captain Hawkins of the cruise ship Pacific Princess. Is anybody hurt? Do you need help?"
When the men in the boats didn't respond, Captain Hawkins spoke to them again. Once more, there was no response to the captain's question. The fishing boat stopped a few hundred meters from the ship. "This seems very strange, sir," said one of the officers.
"It doesn't look good to me either, sir," said another officer.
"No, it doesn't," answered the captain. He told his officers that whatever happened, he didn't want the passengers to panic.
"Maybe there's nothing to worry about," continued the captain, "but we need to be prepared for anything."
Before he could say another word, there was a loud explosion.
"They're firing rocket-propelled grenades at us, sir," said one of the officers, horrified. "But I don't think the ship was hit. That must have been a warning shot."
"Quick," Captain Hawkins told one of the officers, "notify the authorities that we're being attacked by a band of modern-day pirates."
Some of the passengers had heard the explosions, and they were running around the ship in a panic, shouting for help. Suddenly, Captain Hawkins' voice was heard over the loudspeakers, telling everybody to stay inside and wait for further instructions.
"Please don't be afraid. Everything is under control," said the captain, wishing it were true.